You ever felt like all the weight of the world was on your shoulders to make your own decision? It was like, okay, what am I going to do? Have you ever felt like so many people were counting on you? If you messed up, you could mess up a lot of people's lives. Have you ever felt that weight before? That's a lot of pressure. That's the pressure of a leader. If I mess up, I'm going to mess up not just my life. I'm going to mess up a lot of people's lives. There's a safety net in understanding that you don't have to make every decision on your own if you really believe that God has a plan for your life. So God's plan is not just a general idea. God's plan is a very specific plan. But there's a way to know God's plan, and there's a way to unlock God's plan. And here's the thing. There's a lot of people that aren't walking in God's plan, and they're just trying to find their way through life. And some of them are doing pretty good on their own, but they just have no idea what they could do if they could just surrender to God and let the purpose of their life, the reason they were born, take flight. So tonight I want to talk about knowing God's will for your life or God's plan for your life. In chess, anybody play chess? In the game of chess, I'm told, I'm a terrible chess player, but I can play it. I'm just not very good at it. I'm told that an amateur like me can kind of calculate three moves ahead. I'm more of a one move ahead guy. So if you're an amateur chess player, you can kind of calculate three moves ahead. So you know if the guy zigs, you're going to zag, right? You know if he does this, you're going to do this. Well, the difference in an amateur chess player and a professional master chess player is they know 30 moves ahead. So they have predictability of whenever you're playing chess, of predicting whatever move you make, they know what move they're going to make, and they can calculate up to the possibility of 30 moves ahead. Now, if a professional chess player can understand 30 moves ahead, how many moves ahead do you think an omniscient God can think of? I mean, how many steps ahead of you do you think he is to bring you into his will? You zig, he zags. You mess up, he sends an angel. You get over here, he pushes you back in line. Anybody ever been knocked back on course by God? Not a good feeling at all, right? But he loves you so much, he wants you to achieve your highest potential. And so, If a chess player can know 30 moves ahead, how many moves ahead of you is God? Okay, I'm giving you choices, but if you choose this choice, I know where that's going to take you, and I'm going to be waiting on you over here. If you make that choice, I know where that's going to take you, and I've already got someone right here waiting on you. I've already got someone right here waiting on you. Regardless of the choices you make, I already know how it's going to end, and I've already got a plan in place to catch you if you fail. Am I the only one in the room that has ever failed, or am I among friends? How many of you ever failed forward before? That's a lot better than failing backwards. And the only way that I know that you can fail forward is if you know there's a plan bigger than the one you just made. And that plan is going to catch you every time. So let's look at these two verses in the Bible that I talked about. Jeremiah 29 and 11. This one says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope in the future." Now, if you ever really believe that verse, it's empowering. How many of you can see that? If you ever really believe that God meant that when he said that, "I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you." How many of you want to prosper? Not to harm you. How many of you don't want to be harmed? Plans to give you hope and a future. If you ever really believe that, that is absolutely life-altering information. If you truly believe it, it is a lifeline to every day of your life. And here's another verse that I want you to see in Romans 8 and 28. I want you to look at that one. "And we know that all things worked for the good, all things God works for the good of those who love." I'm used to saying in the New King James, so I can't even read it from the NIV. Let me try to read it slowly. "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." So the first verse says that God has a plan for you. The plan is to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and plans to give you a future. And this verse says, regardless of what you do in life, God can turn it around somehow and make something good out of it in your life if he's a part of your life. So let's break this down. Here's how the first one begins to break down. For I know the plans I have for you. Wow. I know the. How can God know the plans he has for me? I'll tell you how he knows. Because God put DNA inside of me that my parents did not put inside of me. My parents gave me physical DNA. And so I look like the heritage that I'm from. I look like my mother's side and my father's side. I have the physical DNA of my family, but there's more to every one of us than a body. We are a body, a soul, and a spirit. Your soul is your mind, your will, your emotions, and God did that. And then you have your spirit man, which the Bible says can empower everything about you. That's your passion, that's your energy, that's your strength, and God did that. So besides my physical DNA, I have spiritual DNA inside of me. And here's something that I hate about DNA, but it's true, and there's no way I can reverse it, is that some of it sits there till you get older, and then it activates. You get that strange hair in your ear and that kind of stuff. It's like, where's this stuff coming from? I mean, you know what, really? I mean, at 13, you give anything for one hair on your chest, and now at 50, you got hair in your ear. That sounds like a bad joke. But it's DNA that sits there and waits until one day when you're old enough, it activates and changes. And every single one of us, have you ever noticed how you start looking more like some of your relatives the older you get? Because you remember the older version of them, and you're thinking, I hope I don't look like that one day. And now you're looking in the mirror thinking, is that my uncle in there? I mean, do you ever have those days that you're thinking, is that really me? Because the DNA activates. You also have spiritual DNA that has to activate. And it does not activate outside of a spiritual realm.
Thank you so much for supporting our ministry. If this has blessed you, please say a prayer for us. And if you would like to give, we have four ways that you can do that. You can give online at briancutshaw.com, or if you're a PayPal user, just PayPal us at Church Trainer. Or you can also give through the mail at P.O. Box 267, Georgetown, Tennessee, 37336. Or if you're a Venmo user, you can Venmo us also at Church Trainer. Thank you, and God bless you, and may the Lord multiply your seed. Now back to Hope in the Word.
So you can live your life struggling with just your physical DNA, but you have something bigger than that. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. God put a deposit inside of you before you even understood your name, before you took your first step, before anybody knew if you were a boy or a girl. God put a deposit inside of you because you've been designed with gifts and talents. Now, you guys hear me talk about my redhead all the time. Let me tell you a story about my redhead that some of you have heard me tell this before. My wife was adopted at birth. Her birth mother was a 14-year-old girl and could not raise her, so she had her in a clinic. And another family came and picked her up at the clinic there in Panama City, Florida, and took her to their home and raised her. And they are her parents. They're loving Christian parents, and they're her parents. And so because they didn't know anything about her DNA, she knows nothing about her mother. She knows nothing, her birth mother. She knows nothing about her birth father. We don't even know his name. We don't know anything about either one of them. We've tried searching some of that and looking some of that up, but we don't know. We don't have any medical history. We don't have anything. And so when Faith was 3 years old, her mother had bought her some toys, and one of those toys was a piano. And what she noticed is that when Faith would go into her bedroom to play, that she was taking one finger and playing out songs that they were singing in church. And she was playing the full melody as a 3-year-old. And her mom thought, this is amazing. And so she kept watching her. She added another hand. The next thing she knows, at 4 years old, this little four-year-old girl is hearing chords, and she's playing harmony on the keyboard, and she's 4 years old on a little toy piano. So her mom, at the age of six, buys her a real piano. And she tried to get her piano teacher, and the piano teacher said, I can't teach her anything because she hears it all. And everything, she taught her how to read music, but she said she won't play my music. She plays by what she hears, and she won't even play it by the song, so I can't teach her. So that didn't last long. But by the age of eight, in her little church there in South Georgia, she was the pianist for the church that needed a piano player, and they had to put songbooks up on the stool because she wasn't tall enough, and this little eight-year-old redheaded girl was the only piano player they had in the church, and she could play anything they wanted to sing. And her gift was so astounding that they didn't even know what keys they were in. They would start singing, and she would just start playing in the keys they were in and could play the whole song. It was quite amazing. By the time she was 10 years old, she was playing in conferences and big conventions. By the time she was 18, she came here to Cleveland, Tennessee, and at Lee University, she became one of the pianists for one of the choirs at Lee, and was the keyboardist for them. And then for what would be now called Voices of Lee, but back then it was Harvest, and she was in that group as well. And so the story goes on and on and on and on and on about this gift that no one taught her, that was put inside of a little girl. They don't know the background, they don't know anything about her, but this is what we know. God put a gift inside of her that God activated when she went to church for the first time and started hearing worship music. She started playing that worship music. And it's something that every single one of you have. Now, I've just told you about her gift, but you know that every person in this room has gifts that can only be unlocked when you become a spiritual person. It can't be unlocked any other way because it's a spiritual DNA. You can't work out and activate this. You can't eat protein and activate this. You can't go for a run and activate this. That's a different DNA. I'm talking about body. I'm talking about soul and spirit talents that are inside of you that God wants to activate in your life. He says, my plan is to prosper you and not to harm you. That's why I like... We're in Romans 8, so might as well go to verse 31. In verse 31, it says, if God is for you, who can be against you? How many of you like that verse? God has said, I'm not against you. My plans are to prosper you, not to harm you. I want to get close to you so I can prosper you. I'm not trying to get close to you so I can harm you. I want to give you hope, and I want to give you a future. So God promises two things to those who get close to him. He says, I want to give you hope. How does he do that? Well, there's a lot of ways that he does it. One of the ways God gives you hope is something that I call handfuls on purpose. Now, that didn't originate with me, obviously. It comes from the book of Ruth, where she was struggling, and Boaz told the gleaners, walk ahead of her and drop big handfuls of wheat so that she doesn't have to glean from the corners. And she's just walking along the path, and she's picking up handfuls that someone dropped on purpose. Have you ever had God drop a handful on purpose into your life? Have you ever had God do something completely unexpected, maybe like a $5,000 check or something, just like clear out of the blue, and it's just like, what? They're going to do what? And what did we do to earn this? You didn't do anything to earn it. That is just what happens sometimes when God wants to bless you. Have you ever had anybody in this room ever had a check you weren't expecting, ever had a blessing you weren't expecting, ever had a breakthrough, a phone call that you weren't expecting, an interview you weren't expecting, a letter in the mail that opened up a door that you weren't expecting? You met a friend that opened up door to business you weren't expecting. I was talking to Todd today, and Todd was telling me, you know, he does carpentry and all kinds of work, and he said, you know what, it's a crazy thing when there's no work and I get nervous, all of a sudden the phone rings and I can't keep up with it. He said it was like there was no work and I thought, what am I going to do? And he said, right now I can't even find time to sleep or do anything because I am literally covered up with work. Has anybody ever received a handful on purpose from God? That's one of the ways he gives you hope. He says, I want your life to be filled with hope. I can drop things into your life that no one else can drop in your life. I can drop the right real estate deal. I can drop the right banking deal. I can drop the right car, the right washing machine, whatever you need. God said, I just want to give you enough to encourage you to let you know I'm working on your behalf. Well, here's another thing God does. He'll send you a word of encouragement. And I'm amazed how he does that, because it's not always through preachers and people you might think it comes from. It comes from songs. Anybody ever gotten a word from encouragement from a billboard? You're driving by and it's like, oh, that word's for me. You just claim that because it's something that encouraged you. Have you ever sit down at the table and someone had left something behind and it had a scripture or something like that on there? It's just a word. So God will send you a word. Sometimes God, here's the one thing I love about God. The Bible says that one of the ways he encourages us is that his mercies are renewed every day. Have you ever been guilty when you went to bed and got up feeling clean again? Because God's mercies are renewed every single day. That's one of the ways that he encourages the people of God. The Bible also says it gives you peace. And I love this because it said the peace God gives passes understanding. It means it's the kind of peace that doesn't make any sense. I shouldn't be at peace, but I am at peace. I shouldn't be feeling better, but I am. I can't explain it. There's nothing major that's happened that's changed. It's just I have a peace that passes my understanding. And that's one of the ways that God gives you hope. He just gives you a handful of peace on purpose.
This program is brought to you by the partners of Brian Cutshaw and Church Trainer Ministries. Please help us pray that the Lord will continue to send us more partners so we can expand his kingdom around the world.